Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, September 26th, day number 269 of 2014. Now, today we're going to catch up with our good friend Barry Castleman. Of course, he's the editor, the Prairie editor. But tonight, instead of talking politics, as we like to do with our friend Barry from time to time, and we will have him back a couple more times in this election season to talk about the upcoming elections, today we're talking baseball. And as you know, Barry is a longtime Yankee fan and shares a passion for baseball with me. And today we're going to talk about Derek Jeter, who retires this weekend from Major League Baseball. And last night, of course, had one of the most incredible nights that any baseball player has ever had when he ended his career at Yankee Stadium with a base hit to win the game. We'll get into all of that with Barry as we remember the life and times of a great player, Derek Jeter, who I don't know what it's going to be like to have baseball without Jeter. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. But it'll be very different next year when the Yankees are not, or when Derek Jeter is now a part of the Yankees. Just a quick reminder, if you like audiobooks, if you're the kind of person who enjoys listening to books, we're going to recommend, of course, that you check the link for audible.com that we have on the show information. They have a lot of books, some of the books that maybe some of the books that you enjoy reading. Well, you can now get them in audio format, then you can listen to them as you're driving around, if you're a busy mom or whatever it may be, you can actually listen to your books now, which is a great technical feature. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Barry right after this. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and it's always a great honor to say hello to our friend Barry Castleman, particularly today when we're talking Yankee baseball. How are you, Barry?
The honor is mine, Silvio, and I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you very much. I tell you, I was kind of going back and before we start talking about Jeter and looking at this day in Yankee history, one big thing that happened on this day in 1961, Roger Maris hit number 60. Of course, he would hit number 61, I think, a couple of days later. But he hit number 60 on this day. And that was a season, we've talked about it before, but that was a season you remember following the Yankees. Any particular memories of that season, Barry?
Well, every year my father, who was a Cleveland Indians fan, we were much closer to Cleveland than New York. He was an Indians fan. And we would, every year, we would go at least once to a Yankee-Indian doubleheader. He always respected my love of the Yankees, and so we would go. And that year we went, and in the first game, in the first inning, Mantle and Maris hit back-to-back home runs. I think it was somewhere around the 40th,
mm-hmm.
In the 40s, because it was in early August when we went to Cleveland.
Right.
In the old
municipal
stadium.
Right?
There were at least 80,000 people in the stadium, maybe 83 or 84,000 that
wow.
day. It was the largest stadium in baseball, and we no longer have stadiums that large.
No, but wasn't it called Municipal Stadium, Barry?
Municipal Stadium, yes.
Municipal Stadium, yeah, I remember that.
Now they have Jacobs Field.
Right, Jacobs Field. Or some other name too. I think they put a company name on it. But if I could just relate one quick memory about that stadium, because the last year of that stadium was 1993. of the Cleveland Stadium before they switched to the new one. And I remember watching a game. It was a Sunday afternoon game. The Rangers were in Cleveland. And I was also Nolan Ryan's last year. So they advertised, you know, that Nolan Ryan was going to be pitching that day. And they sold something like 40,000 seats, you know, that morning. I mean, the stadium was packed, you know. It wasn't 80,000, but I think it got to about 65 or 70,000. And they were all there to see Nolan Ryan, you know, pitch what turned out to be his last game in Cleveland. So I remember that stadium and how big it was. It was like all, I mean, you had bleachers all around. It was an amazing experience. It must have been pretty wild when there were only like 10,000 people. It must have looked pretty empty, you know?
Well, what I remember distinctly about, because it was a circular stadium, of course, and was and all those bleachers, when the crowd roared, it was a roar. And the only time I heard anything more was at the old Metrodome here, which was when it was filled, and it had only about 45,000. But it was, of course, a covered stadium, so the roar was really loud.
Right.
And so when I went to the World Series here, I heard the roar. But until that time, I never heard anything quite like it. It was, and they were very passionate fans in Cleveland in those days. They were not doing too well. Their heyday was in the late 40s, in the 40s, when mm-hmm. Lou Boudreau was the manager, and they had Mike Garcia, Bob Lemon, Early Wynn, and as one other, they had four 20-game winners in one season.
And right.
They won 110 games. I think, which is the record, or was the record, and those days were over, but the fans stuck it out, and Cleveland had this stadium right near the Lake Erie where I grew up, 100 miles away in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Right, and I think that the Bob Feller was one of those four guys who won 20 games, wasn't he?
Right, I forgot Feller. I should have. Probably the most famous of them all.
Yeah, no, but I think it was Feller. I could be wrong.
Anyway.
Yeah, but
no,
then Feller. Lefty Gomez was another one, I believe.
I don't think Lefty Gomez was an earlier era.
Okay, all right.
I don't think he was playing then. But
I just remember Barry.
It was early Wynn, Mike Garcia, and I mean, later they had Herb Score, of course.
Right.
Who was a great pitcher. Unfortunately, career cut short.
Sure. Well, I just remember baseball cards with my brother growing up in Wisconsin, and we had this is from like 65, 66, baseball cards of the Indians that jump at me right now when you were talking about the Indians and that season. This is a little bit later, of course, but there's two cards that really jump at me. One is Sam McDowell, who's a great left-hander, and the other one was Rocky Colavito, who was an outfielder with the Indians. I just remember those two names from baseball cards that we had from that time frame. But
there was
great
also
memories.
Bobby Avila.
There were
all kinds of wonderful players.
And Bobby Avila is a great trivia question, Barry. Forgive me for interrupting you, but Bobby Avila, or Avila, I guess, is in Spanish. Avila, I think, in English. But it was a great trivia question because he was the first Latin American to win a batting title. In 1954, when
right.
he won the batting title, and most people didn't realize that he was actually Mexican. Most people, you know, because most of the great players have come from the Caribbean, they thought, well, Bobby, you know, he was from Cuba or Puerto Rico or whatever. No, he was actually Mexican. One of the rare examples of Mexican big stars in the majors. There aren't that many compared to the Caribbean countries. And when I lived in Mexico in the early 80s, he was there at the time. I mean, one time I heard that he was signing some autographs, and I didn't get to see him, but I just remember that he was going to be signing some autographs, and he was, I guess, by that time he would have been a man in his 60s or maybe mid 60s or so, and he was still signing autographs and still very very popular in Mexican baseball, Barry.
Well, he was quite a. They had lots of. Interesting. In baseball in those days had a lot of it. It was Larry Doby,
right.
who was also a pioneer black player, hit a lot of home runs. There was a lot of of interesting characters, and every team had a few. You know, leading into our discussion of Jeter, it doesn't seem like the teams have as many interesting characters these days. There's, of course, the stars, but and to have people of the character that Jeter has, I mean, he's one of the very few in baseball.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Jeter in a minute because I wanted to share some things that I had, some notes that I had made about him. But one quick note of on this day in history, another one of my all-time favorites, Nolan Ryan, had no-hitter number 5 today against the Dodgers. Of course, he would go on to have 2 more. He would have ended up with 7 no-hitters, but number 5 was on this day in 1981. It was on national television because I remember watching it. It was a Saturday afternoon game of the week. And I remember watching, you know, it's another trivia question, but Nolan Ryan actually had 2 no-hitters on the game of the week. It's just another trivia question, but the one again, number 5 and number 3 or, and number 5, or number 2 and number 5, were both on the Saturday, the old NBC Saturday afternoon game of the week. I'm sure you remember those telecasts, Barry.
Well, I don't know if I watched those. I don't think I've ever seen a no-hitter either on TV or live, but Nolan had more no-hitters than he did. He has the
right,
record.
7, yeah. And, yeah, he had 7.
And he's one of the great, great, great pitchers of all time.
Absolutely.
I saw him pitch a few times, but because, you know, as I say, over so many years and going to so many games, I inevitably saw pretty much everybody in that era. But he was pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, he was. He was absolutely stunning, and because he played so many games in the West Coast with the Angels in the 70s, he was in the West Coast with the Angels. I think a lot of people back in the Central and Eastern zones probably never got to see that much of him, but he was an absolutely amazing pitcher. Well, let's talk about Derek Jeter because that's our topic today, and it's someone that you and I value a great deal. I made me some notes here about Derek Jeter that I wanted to share with you as we begin our conversation about Jeter. He wore jersey number 2, which I thought was really interesting because a lot of those single digits have run out. And I thought it was great that he was able to get one of those single digits, you know, as a great Yankee. So I was always happy that he got number 2 because the only other one available is number 6, and Joe Torre used to wear that one. So I was happy that he was able to wear number 2 and be one of those single-digit Yankee jerseys that I'm sure he will be retired very soon. A couple of things about him, character and grace were 2 things that always struck me about him. He was always a gentleman on the field, very good to the fans. He's number 6 total hits of all time. He has 5 World Series victories. That puts him up there, I would think, with some of the great Yankees. He played in 7 World Series, but he won 5. And of course, he was Rookie of the Year in 1996. So, just a great player, Barry. I don't know what else to say. The numbers speak for themselves. But as we were talking off the air, grace and character are the things that you believe made him to be so good.
Well, interesting enough, he never got the Most Valuable Player award in 22 years, and yet I don't think there's anybody who would argue that he was really the most valuable player on the team in many ways. Maybe not the most valuable player in a particular year in the league, but really over time, if they would name most valuable player of the decade, he would certainly be up there winning, if not winning it, up number 2 or 3. He was a team player. He was not a showboat. He was even-tempered. He showed... He was not a narcissist. He never got, you know, he was a single man. He's still single, and he's dated some of the most beautiful women in the country, and yet no scandal, no problems, no heavy drinking, at least nothing. There's no gossip. There's no gossip about him. It's almost, I don't know. There's only one player I know. Here, up here in Minnesota, we have a very excellent player named Joe Mauer, and he's of the same character. He has the same qualities. He's a very he just got married and he has his first baby, and but he was well known for being a good guy, a nice person, a very even tempered person who didn't get into trouble, who never those are so rare these days, especially with all the headlines about the bad boys in football and baseball and basketball and hockey.
Well, all the temptations, Barry. I mean, when you have that kind of fame and that kind of money, you know that the bad people are going to, problems are going to find you probably, you know?
Right. I mean, there's only one Babe Ruth was actually a wonderful man.
Mm-hmm.
He had a few, he's a drinker, a bit of a ladies' man, but he made a lot of money for those that era. But the fact is that the Babe Ruth was not only probably the best baseball player, when you consider the fact that he was also a great, in addition to his fame for hitting, he was a great pitcher, and yet he was a figure who was beloved all over the world. I mean, he was a unique figure, and he saved baseball after the Black Sox scandal and after World War I. It was Babe Ruth who basically single-handedly saved baseball as the national sport. And then, of course, you had figures like Lou Gehrig, who was a very saint. Who was another very nice man, who died unfortunately from a disease which has now been named after him informally. But Jeter, in our own era, is unique. The Yankees are quite a team. They also get a lot of. They had a lot of money over the years, and so they bought at the end of midway in the season, they would buy very, very good players, usually in the close to the end of their careers, but who usually had a couple of good seasons left. Reggie Jackson, of course, was one of those. He was really not originally a Yankee. And another thing about Jeter is he's a fairly unique figure in modern times in that he's only played for one baseball team.
Right.
And most players, even the good ones, get traded.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeter probably refused and
Mauer is
that
agent.
Way too.
Or become free agents, which is the other
right.
way that
and,
they leave.
And,
yeah.
And Mauer is another one. I think he's going to stay with the. There's lots of people saying they should trade him, but he's going to stay with the Twins. I think
right.
that there are these unique figures who exist in baseball, like in every other profession, every other sport, but they're very rare, and they exemplify much more than the sport. We can't forget, Jeter had a lifetime batting average over 300.
That's right.
As you point out, sixth highest in hits. He hit a lot of home runs. He never a home run king, but he's hit somewhere between 300 or 400 home runs, so he's right up there. Of course, he's one of those rare players who played a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Not many play 20 or more seasons full.
Right.
The other thing was Jeter was rarely, we know he's been left out of a few games the last couple seasons, but he's in his 40s. I never remember Jeter being hurt.
No.
Like someone like Rodriguez is always hurt. Some of the other players, they're great players, but they hurt their ankle. They have a bad arm, whatever. Jeter was always healthy.
Right.
It was something special about him. You could always count on him. He was, of course, known as the captain, and he brought all the young players would come to the Yankees, and they would go to see Jeter, and Jeter would calm them down. And the main thing you remember about Jeter, in spite of so many great statistics and great games he played, was character.
That's
and
right.
I put a lot of that, as I said to you before the show, on his parents.
Mm-hmm.
He was he had two, he has two wonderful parents, a white mother, a black father. Mm-hmm. So he grew up in a situation which was potentially problematic, and they handled it with grace and with discipline and with just graciousness. And marked, so his whole family, you look at his sister too, I understand, is a very, very fine person.
Mm-hmm.
You have people who, where the family life, I mean, I have a belief that family life is so important today, and there you had an exemplary family, a strong father, loving mother, all of whom, you know, implanted, imbued in Jeter values that we don't seem to be cherishing very much anymore, in a culture which is sort of out of control. And as you pointed out earlier, once we got into the post-war period, and about 1955 to 1960, the salaries started going up, the money started getting way out of control. Now we're talking about $20 million a
right.
year for a player who, like someone like Rodriguez, who doesn't play, because the teams, sign these contracts, but you have no guarantee the guy's going to be around to play because he's going to break an arm or whatever happens to people in any sport, and it's happening to all the sports. Baseball is, when you and I were growing up, Silvio, baseball was the sport.
That's right.
I mean, football was important. Basketball was sort of coming on. Hockey was, except in a few cities, and in Canada was not very well known. And baseball was the national pastime. Well, it's really not as much anymore.
No.
And it's losing its fan base because – I just went to a game at the Target Field here in Minnesota. I went to, even though I'm not a Twins fan, I go to games. My friends offer me tickets, and I was just watching the game, and there was like every half inning there were these children on the field or somebody
right.
on the field. And I mean, many of the causes are good causes, or honoring people for good reasons. But it was, there were fireworks, and there were
right.
There were things. So there's all these little promotions. So it's like they have to do. I mean, when you went to Cleveland Municipal Stadium in the 50s, there weren't anything.
That's
it
right.
It was just baseball.
Well, you had the organist, and that was about it.
Well, you had the organist. Yes, of course you had the organist.
Yeah, but I mean, that was about
now,
it. That
and
was...
now you've got these electronic things
yes.
that says clap or
right.
roar. So you're getting, I said to the person I was with, I said, it sounds like you're getting manipulated to they're not spontaneous,
right.
the feelings of the fans. And so baseball is going through a crisis. An extended crisis, and I don't know where it ends up.
Well,
I mean, people like you and me,
yeah.
we're fans to the end. But I don't know about young people. I don't know where they are.
Well, it's an interesting question because the commissioner, to follow up on that for a second, the commissioner has put together a committee to look at the pace of the game. I don't think the game is any slower than it was 40 or 50 years ago. It's always been a slow-paced game. But what's happened now, I think, is that because of all these interruptions between innings, it's a lot longer than it used to be, and the games are taking 30 or 40 minutes. I mean, a game in the 1960s, I just heard this yesterday, that a game in the 1960s was 2 hours and 30 minutes long, the average game. Today, it's over 3 hours. And that extra 30 minutes, what is that? Well, it's a lot of these things that you're talking about that they're filling up the time with. The other big difference for me remembering games back then was all these noises in the ballpark and all these scoreboards and all that kind of stuff. That some of it is entertaining. I'm not going to say that it isn't, but it does take away a little bit from the focus which used to be the game. But can I share with you a couple of stats here about Jeter? Because I just wanted to, you were mentioning about his stats, 2,745 games. So obviously that's a lot of games. 1,923 runs scored. That's a lot of runs. 3,463, the number of hits. You mentioned home runs, and I wanted you caught my curiosity with that one, so I looked it up. 260, that's a lot of home runs for a shortstop. But here's the part that really impressed me. 1,310 RBIs, that's a lot of RBIs for a shortstop. So this is a guy who was driving a lot of runs, even though he generally hit first or second, Barry, in that Yankee lineup. So those RBIs are pretty impressive to me, and he's also a right-handed batter that – you know, Yankee Stadium was never favorable to right-handed batters for home runs. So I think his stats are pretty much up there. And then lifetime batting average of .309, which, you know, ranks him pretty high for the modern era. So, I think a great player. But I like what you said about him. The character is what really stands out. I don't know of anybody that famous, that handsome, with that much money, who has been so trouble-free as Jeter. I mean, I can't think of anybody. I mean, when you think that he was in New York making millions of dollars, must have had temptations coming out of his ears because of the money and because of who he was, he obviously had to know somewhere deep inside of him that he was Derek Jeter and couldn't do these things, Barry. That's the only thing that explains it.
Well, I think that's it. I think it was self-discipline, but a discipline that was learned from parents and mm-hmm. family and mentors.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know anybody that doesn't like him.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure there are some envy maybe somewhere along the line, but he was never a I mean, you never heard stories even.
Right.
You know, you would hear something if it were there. There are
right.
no secrets in the world anymore, and if there were, and you don't hear a bad word. I mean, it's almost too good, and yet it's true. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I think it's just he's a very. You can compare him in a way to Mariano Rivera,
mm-hmm.
in the sense of Rivera too. I think he never. Rivera was very person, a religious
mm-hmm.
person, and made no secret of it, although he didn't say wear it on his sleeve.
Right.
We don't know much about Jeter's spiritual life. I mean, it's none of our business, really, but I have a feeling there is some, an important spiritual life there.
Yeah.
Because you can't operate in a world with those pressures and those temptations, as you put them, and other things without having. A spiritual life.
Right, I think there had to
be done.
You're exactly right, and I think there had to be something inside of him that said, look, I'm Derek Jeter, I'm wearing the Yankee uniform, if I do this, I'm going to make myself look bad, I'm going to make the team look bad, and I'm not trying to say the guy was a saint, I'm sure he's got problems like anybody else, but I'm just saying that he didn't have the usual problems that other players have, and there's also something about Jeter, too, that I like to say, Barry, aside from character and all of that, there was a sense of maturity about him. That always struck me when he first came up, how mature he was for a young kid, I mean, coming up and playing with the Yankees. I remember back in 96, 98, 99, when he was a young player going to the World Series in those great Yankee teams, that they beat the Rangers in the playoffs to get to the next level. 3 out of 4 years, they beat the Rangers in the playoffs to move on. And, you know, as a Rangers fan, obviously, I wanted the Rangers to win, and I wanted Jeter to strike out. But I always had so much respect for Jeter and for some of those players on that team, like Paul O'Neill and obviously Torrey, the manager, Rivera, like you're saying. They had some real characters in that club, and maybe Torrey had something to do with it. But maturity, that's what stands out in my mind, Barry. A lot of maturity for a guy in his 20s playing for the best-known team in the world, Barry.
Exactly. And again, it comes back to the way he was brought up. I whenever I meet new people, I always ask a lot about their family life, mm-hmm. their background. As a writer, you know, because I have learned it's not everything, and there are people who have difficult upbringings, difficult childhoods, and who, out of sheer character and strength, overcome it and become wonderful people. And there are people who come from fantastic backgrounds, you would think, and have everything, and they turn out to be have terrible lives. So it isn't 100%, but it has a lot to do with eventual success. And it'll be interesting to watch, what we, you know, Derek Jeter has already said that he's going to sort of disappear. He's not going to be a high-profile ex-ball player.
Right.
I don't know what that means. I think, you know, he says he's going to get married and have family, and that's what is and whatever it is he's going to do. But, you know, he's a very, very famous baseball player and a figure.
Right.
An icon, as we say, and we'll see what he does with the rest of his life. I mean, the guy's only 42 years old. He's a from your and my point of view, he's a mere boy. And,
that's right. I mean, he's got half of his life. I mean, if he lives a normal life, I mean, he's only about halfway
half
through.
His life to
I mean. So he's got a lot of the future ahead of him.
And so let's see what he does. It'll be interesting. I mean, it's a challenge. He's obviously enormously wealthy. He has all the money he'll ever want. And beyond, he's got friends everywhere, and it'll be very interesting to see what he does with the rest of his life.
Well, I think what he's going to do, if I had to, again, I don't know anything personal about him. I think you're right. I think he'll settle down and raise a family. I think that's something he really wants to do, and I'm sure he'll do a great job as a father and husband and all of that. But I have a feeling that when he finally decides to get reactive again, I wouldn't be surprised if he really focuses on helping the game of baseball. In other words, that I think he realizes, you know, he would be a great asset for the commissioner, whoever it may be, to call him in and say, "Hey, Derek, you're probably the most popular guy in our sport. How can you help us?" I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, that he becomes, in a sense, sort of an ambassador for the game, the kind of ambassador, frankly, the game could use right now.
Could be.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I don't want to see him disappear. I don't want to see him disappear. I think a lot of guys go into television and stuff like that. I don't see Jeter doing that. But I do think hopefully he'll be around. But, Barry, let's wrap it up. Great chat with you. We've been meaning to do a baseball show, and Derek Jeter gave us the perfect reason.
I think it was, and it's a tribute to him. I hope we'll have players we'll be able of other teams, of neither our teams, but we respect, and there are great players out there. But I think we're hoping that baseball gets a second wind here, because I think baseball, between the money and the drugs and everything else, baseball and as all the sports, we've seen that with football now.
Right.
We're seeing football really take it on the chin, especially professional football. And so what we need here is a renewal of our sports. Sports are really part of culture. They're not just pure superficialness, as some people would think. Sports are very much part of the lives of most Americans and most people in the world, whether your sport be soccer, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, or whatever.
That's right. No, you're exactly right about that. And I think all, particularly baseball and the NFL, really need a second wind, as you say, because they've had some problems recently. Have a wonderful day in Minnesota, Barry, and we have a date sometime in the next couple of weeks to get back to our political chat, but today I thought baseball was what we had to do, and I'm so happy we did.
I am too, but as your listeners should know, we're heading into one of the most exciting political seasons of our lifetime, and you and I will have much to discuss in the month of October.
I think so. I'm looking forward to that. We're not going to be talking about the Rangers or the Yankees in the playoffs, so I guess we'll focus on politics.
Exactly.
All right, Barry. It's a great honor, as always, to have you on the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
El gusto es mío.
Okay,
until the next
Barry,
time. Bye-bye.
Until the next time. Barry Castleman, the Prairie editor, who as well is a great political analyst, a wonderful political observer. He's also a great baseball fan, and you've heard us on the air many times talk about baseball, and I thought today with Derek Jeter's retirement that it was the perfect time to have a conversation about baseball, and a great guy named Derek Jeter. We wish Derek the very best, and we'll be back with politics on our next program. This is Silvio Cantu in Dallas.